Well, breaking off from our long-term series in Mark's Gospel, because we have now reached Palm Sunday, would you please open your Bibles and find with me the Gospel according to Luke, Luke chapter 19, and this morning we'll take in verses 41 to 44. Luke chapter 19 and verses 41 to 44. And as we get ready to listen to the Word of God, what might the consequences be for us if peace in the Middle East continues to be rejected? If peace in the Middle East continues to be rejected, notwithstanding the military threat to us and perhaps hostile action by bad actors in local communities, but in addition to those headlines, our lives will be affected by increased living costs and nervous financial markets. And the bitter reality for us as a nation is that for now, the main belligerents in this latest war continue to reject conditions for peace. And because peace is rejected, a lot of people are suffering and will suffer. And as we come to our passage, we find the same thing there as well. In Luke chapter 19 and verses 41 to 44, Jesus is going to tell us that the rejection of God's peace plan leads to devastating suffering. Now, for those who might not know, it's generally accepted that Luke is the only non-Jewish author to contribute to the New Testament. And in addition to his gospel, Luke also wrote the Acts of the Apostles, a lively and gripping account of the early church getting underway. Coming to Luke chapter 19 now and our earlier reading, when Jesus humbly rides into Jerusalem on a donkey, not only does Jesus fulfill ancient prophecy of Zechariah chapter 9 and verse 9, in addition to that, when Jesus rides into Jerusalem on a donkey, Jesus is just days away from being betrayed, abandoned, beaten up, and crucified. Yes, that's right. Just as many rejoiced over Jesus' entry into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, it won't be long before some of Israel's religious leaders get many people to agitate for Jesus' humiliation and excruciating suffocation. And because many in Jerusalem shall reject God's gospel of peace revealed in Jesus Christ, because many in Jerusalem shall refuse to accept that it is Jesus alone who forgives sin and saves us from hell, because of hard hearts, Jesus knows that in years to come, many in Jerusalem shall suffer under Rome's military. And while we might think that Jesus would celebrate the suffering of his opponents, their loved ones, their families, Luke notes the opposite. And we begin to hear this for ourselves in our first verse for this morning. Can you see verse 41 with me? Verse 41 again, "And when he drew near and saw the city, he wept over it." So at verse 41, the detail is straightforward. Jesus is getting closer to Jerusalem, and when he sees the city in which the living Lord God chose to reveal his presence and his authority and his character, that city where the living Lord God put his name, when Jesus sees the city, he weeps. And as our ears tune into Jesus' uninhibited lamentation, We are listening in on divine despair over Jerusalem's residents. And it's divine despair because while Jesus came, as the scriptures promised, many have chosen to reject his appearing and his preaching. And through Jesus' sobbing and crying, we hear him say at verse 42, can you see it there? Would that you, oh, even you, had known on this day the things that make for peace. But now they are hidden from your eyes. Now, what might we say about this heart-searching statement spoken by Jesus? Well, as we consider that bit about knowing the things that make for peace, as we do a bit more exploring here in context, we touched on it a few moments ago. In context, many people in Jesus' day hoped that God's Messiah would bring a political peace to the land of Israel and an elevated status on the world stage. Many hoped that God's Messiah would be like King David. Many hoped that God's Messiah would rescue Israel from Roman rule and re-establish David's throne in Jerusalem. Indeed, in John chapter 6 and verse 15, Jesus spots the people preparing to take him by force to make him king in the land. But Jesus gets himself out of that situation because Jesus knows that his Father's peace plan does not focus on the issue of political oppression and global status. Now, please don't misunderstand me here. Just as God the Savior will require an accounting from church leaders, the living Lord God will also have his day of reckoning with secular leaders as well. But we need to understand that Jesus did not come into this world solely to deal with the politics of ancient Israel. When Jesus Christ entered time and space, when he entered this fallen world, it was to primarily preach repentance for sin, because the kingdom of God is at hand. The Christ is at the door, ready to judge. When Jesus Christ came into this fallen world, it was to show sinful men and women and young people the possibility of new relationship with God the Father through a transformed mind and heart wrought by his blood. However, many religious leaders in Israel and in Jerusalem, they hated Jesus for what he was saying and doing. They hated the fact that he was pointing out their sin and urging them to repent before it's too late. And our earlier reading shows how much they hated Jesus, because towards the end of verse 47, the VIPs of Jerusalem are actively seeking a way to destroy Jesus, to kill Jesus. And it's this hard-heartedness that is prompting Jesus to weep. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, city of peace. If only you, of all places, could see God's conditions for peace displayed in me and my ministry. But many in Jerusalem refuse the Savior's terms. And this is why Jesus then gives that stark assessment at the end of verse 42. It's that bit where Jesus says, but now they are hidden. The terms of peace are now hidden from your eyes. And while we might balance these comments by also remembering that before Jesus' resurrection and further teaching, the 12 disciples were also unclear about Jesus and his mission. As we stay focused on our text for this morning, the fact of the matter is that because Jerusalem does not agree with God's peace terms revealed in Jesus, it means that Jerusalem has reached a turning point in its history. Now, for sure, in the Acts of the Apostles, after Jesus' ascension into heaven, the Lord humiliates the opposition to his gospel by establishing his church in Jerusalem. And thousands come to faith in Jesus. Thousands become Christians. They repent of their sins in Jesus Christ alone. However, there are many others who refuse to accept Jesus as the way of finding true peace with our Father who is in heaven. And by saying no to Jesus and go away, Jesus, so it follows by divine decree that God Almighty shall deem it right for these hard-hearted people to lock themselves up in ignorance and sin and make themselves ripe for judgment at the appointed time. They shall never see clearly God's terms for peace in Christ, and they shall be judged for it. And what a judgment it shall be. Verses 43 to 44, can we see them? Jesus describes the judgment like this. For the days will come upon you. The Christ is emphatic. The days will come upon you when your enemies will set up a barricade round you and surround you and hem you in on every side and tear you down to the ground. You and your children within you. And they will not leave one stone upon another in you because you did not know the time of your visitation. And as we listen to Jesus' graphic summary, that is precisely what happened when the Jewish zealots pushed Rome once too often. As the Jewish zealots kicked back against Rome's occupation, war broke out. And while the zealots enjoyed some success against Rome's military, by degrees, the Romans went to work on Jerusalem and its people. And a Roman Jewish historian called Josephus substacks it in this way, quote, "Thus did the miseries of Jerusalem grow worse and worse every day. And the seditious were still more irritated by the calamities they were under, even while the famine preyed upon them. And indeed, the multitude of carcasses that lay in heaps, one upon another, was a horrible sight and produced a stench, which was a hindrance to those that would make journeys out of the city to fight." And now the Romans, although they were greatly distressed in getting together their materials, raised their banks in 1 and 20 days after they had cut down all the trees that were in the country that adjoined to the city. And truly, the very view itself of the country was a sad thing. For those places which were before adorned with trees and pleasant gardens were now become a desolate country every way. And as we allow Josephus' record to percolate around our minds, as we think about those events, that grim siege and those gradual incursions into the city, as we think about all those events that gradually built up to the destruction of the temple in AD 70, these things fulfilled Jesus' promise, because last part of verse 44 again, the city of Jerusalem did not know the time of visitation. Even though the Lord Jesus Christ coming out of Nazareth was fulfilling Old Testament prophecy, even though God's anointed was spiritually speaking, bringing good news to those who were spiritually poor, even though the Lord Jesus Christ was binding up those who were spiritually brokenhearted, even though the Lord Jesus Christ was proclaiming liberty to those who are trapped and worn down by religion and laws and rules, even though the Lord Jesus Christ effectively was opening the prison gates to those who were bound in iniquity and sin, despite all these things that the Lord Jesus Christ was faithfully doing, Jerusalem, Jerusalem of all places, refused to recognize the astonishing time in which she found herself to be in. She refused to unroll those scrolls that she had been graciously given by God the Savior, and she refused to recognize that God in Christ had come to proclaim conditions for divine peace. And because Jerusalem rejected God's peace plan, many in Jerusalem would suffer under Rome's response to the Zealots' uprising. And as we rise from our study, our application for this morning is simple. Are we behaving like Jerusalem of old? Are we currently outside the kingdom of God because we continue to refuse the peace of God in Christ? You know, if this describes us this morning, then we are in great danger. And it's a danger to us that is far greater than the current war in the Middle East. Now, for sure, what we said at the top of our sermon is true. The lack of peace in the Middle East has affected and will affect our security and our cost of living. And I don't downplay the seriousness of these things, not for one moment. I'm concerned. I'm sure you are concerned too. But with that said, the Lord Jesus Christ is gun barrel straight when it comes to where our priorities should be. With eternity in mind, not just this afternoon or tomorrow, but with eternity in mind, a concept that our fallen minds cannot comprehend, but with eternity in mind, Jesus Christ says to everyone who has ears that are open and willing to listen and hear, I tell you, my friends, do not fear those who kill the body and after that have nothing more that they can do. But I will warn you whom to fear. Fear him who, after he has killed, has authority to cast into hell. I tell you, says Jesus, fear him. And as we take in Jesus' directness, as we get to grips with the depth of Jesus' concern for fallen creatures like us, that's those who are of more value than many sparrows, we must today, right now, take seriously God's offer of peace revealed in Jesus Christ. Because all the while we are living in accordance with the culture of our times, the Bible tells us that we are enemies of the living God. That is a frightening description to consider. We are enemies of the living God. And to everyone who outrages the Spirit of grace offered for free in Christ, God is clear. The living Lord God says, vengeance is mine. I will repay. And it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God as his enemy. And because no man or woman or young person knows their time on the face of this earth, we're here today and we're gone tomorrow. Because of this reality, the race is on. We must strain with every fiber of our souls to find out what it means to receive from God in grace peace through Jesus Christ. Because all the while we continue doing our own thing outside of Christ's gospel, we are, to use the language of the passage spoken by Christ, we are in danger of being hemmed in. We are in danger of being torn down. And we are in danger of being set on fire forever. Not by Rome's legions, rather by the just judgments of God in hell. Dear friend, can you not see plainly that our friendship with the world makes us an enemy of God? And so while there is time, I urge everyone here to take seriously God's offer of peace through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to accept by faith that our lives fall short of the glory of God. We need to accept that by ourselves, on our own, we are condemned. But by Jesus Christ on the cross, we are given a right standing with God. It's just as the Apostle Paul says to the church in Rome, to Christians living in Rome, Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. It's Jesus who gives peace with God. It's by Jesus that we find forgiveness with God. Coming into land now and trying to keep us focused right to the end, having visited this place on Palm Sunday, we are now left with a straightforward choice. We can either accept God's terms of peace and receive for free a transformed life in Jesus Christ that leads to everlasting glory, or we can reject God's conditions for peace and go our own way. But be warned again, if we choose that pathway, there will come a day when God's peace in Christ shall be hidden from us forever. There'll be no further opportunity to understand those conditions of peace represented by Jesus Christ. There will come a point when God the Savior will not bear with us any longer. And so, before it's too late, let all of us accept peace with God through Christ. Will that be you today? Accept peace with God through Christ. It's only God's Son, Jesus Christ, who can save us from the inescapable judgments of God that are to come. Amen.